We're doing the Sefer HaMidot. We're up to page Kuf Samach Beis. The Magid Midovna had been describing the different types of Yiras Shemaim, and he was discussing another type of Yiras Shemaim, which is a response to things going wrong, where the Gemara says if a person sees afflictions are headed his way, so he has to stop and take note and take it to heart. V'yishamer lecha milomam mikrehu, and a person should watch himself. He shouldn't say, it's just a coincidence. As, people sometimes have a fever. That's not the correct approach. That's an impure way of looking at life. And the truth is, if you'd only look, you'd see that there's a good cause for something new that happened here. God forbid you should say something like this that really has no basis. To assume, maybe God doesn't know what's happening here. Maybe God didn't make this happen to me. It just happened. Or to think, maybe God can't follow what's happening every moment with every person. Or to say, maybe not every single thing that happens every moment is righteous. Because if you do say, hey, it's a coincidence, it just happened, and it's not really God's will that had it happen. Tomar beichreach. So then, what you really have to say is, or shelo yada boreit barach kasher barasi bashi suvev leisha zeken metei. Either that God created laws of nature, but He didn't take into account what would follow, what would happen from these laws of nature. Or yada ve'amuchach b'davar shu gamshu neged ritzono. Or else God knew it, but He couldn't. He had no choice. This is the way the system works. Or you'll say that God knew that this is the way the system would play itself out and wanted it that way, but really you don't deserve it. Really God created laws of nature, there are viruses, sometimes they get this one, sometimes they get that one, and God knew who would get ill, but He didn't care, and it's not your fault if you got sick. Or you're going to say, so God made laws of nature, and it doesn't matter whether you deserve it or not, the most important thing is that nature run its course. So the Magen Midovna says, none of these approaches are correct. And in order for a person to look at problems in his life and say, well, it's all nature, he has to assume one of these philosophies, either that God doesn't know, or didn't know when He created this nature, or knew and said, let nature take its course whether you deserve it or not. Well, none of those are correct. Ushloshtan kfira be'emunah amitit, and he says all three are a denial of the true faith. Kmo shamra Chana el Pnina, as Chana says to Pnina, kikel deot Hashem velo nitkenu alilot. God knows everything, and He has all the plans. Gam ki makom lomar ki haya yad hasibah lehem umetu baneh shel Pnina. Even though technically we have the following story: Elkanah is married to two wives, Chana and Pnina. And Chana has no children, and Pnina has 10 children. Pnina torments Chana, and then God accepts Chana's prayer, and Chana starts having children. And with every child that Chana has, two children die. Two of Pnina's children die. Until Chana is up to her fifth child, and Pnina comes begging, she asks Chana to pray that her last two children shouldn't die. So Chana, when she initially had her first son, she sings a song of prophecy, the song of Chana. And in that song she says, God knows everything and He's planning everything. So technically Pnina obviously could have viewed her children's death as something natural. Obviously God caused this one to have pneumonia and that one to have typhus and a third one to have a TB, and each one had their illness that naturally caused their death. And that's why Pnina initially doesn't see the connection. It's only when she sees two and two and two, and now she's down to her last two, that she puts two and two together and she says, wait a second, and she comes running to Chana. And we see the same thing with Chiel. Chiel built the city of Jericho, and here it's worse, because when he built the city of Jericho, Joshua had placed a curse that whoever builds the city, as he lays the foundation, his first son will die, and as he puts up the doorpost, his last son will die. And that's exactly what happens to Chiel. He comes to rebuild Jericho, he lays the foundation, his first son dies. So you tell yourself, hey buddy, you see the curse is coming true, don't continue. He continues. son after son dies until he lays the final doorpost and his final son dies. So you have to ask yourself, how could a person do such a thing? He knew in advance there's a curse. He saw the curse happening. And the answer seems to be that when the children died, it wasn't lightning that came down and struck them. One son had a fever and the doctors are fighting to save him, and he just visited someone else that had fever, and something like that happened where Chiel could attribute it to nature. God didn't make it overtly obvious that it was the curse coming true. And son after son dies, and every time Chiel sees, there are natural reasons. It's only after he buries his last son that he stops and looks in hindsight and he says, boy, the curse came true. Excellent question. That deserves a class unto itself. Let's assume they were minors. Where the Talmud tells us that so long as a child is a minor, he has no sins or mitzvos, so everything that happens to him is really a reflection of what his father deserves. That's why his son makes a blessing, when it becomes bar mitzvah, he says, thank God, I no longer have to get his punishments. What? You thought the father says the blessing, you're right. There's a custom that the father says the blessing, and then again, there's a question what the interpretation is, where some say the interpretation is, thank God, I no longer have to worry about his punishments on my that are my fault. There are two customs quoted in Halacha, in the Medrash also. So, in life, very often we can choose to ignore things and just assume it's nature. He got sick. And that's what the Magen Midubna is saying over here, that Chana in her song says, God knows everything and plans everything. Even though it was possible to say that it was a coincidence, it was a happening, it was part of nature that Penina's children died. But God plans so that even though nature is the tool, but the hand that's guiding nature, or the plan that formulated nature, is the divine will. Yeah.
To what extent can we extend this? Because we're talking about death, illnesses, or glass of milk, or your food.
Let's hear him out, right? It's a good question. There is a Gemara that says it goes to that extent. There's a Gemara that says, right?
Okay.
It's a Gemara that says if you're banging in a nail and you miss and you hit your thumb, that was predestined. What? That's a question. How far does the Shkacha Pratit go? Let's hear the Magen Midov now. He's in the process of developing a thought, but it's going to take a few days. We're still here. So long as you don't go crazy.
Well, that's what I'm asking. How crazy do you go? If you spill your glass of milk, is that...
So the average person has to live his life in a way that's fit to his level. And then we would go with the assumption that depending on what level you're on, that defines how exactly God fashions everything that happens. Meaning, the greater a person is, the more immediate there's a reaction to what he does wrong. A smaller person, so then Hashem leaves him more to the laws of nature with less direct involvement and more, we'll give him a chance to fix things up before we actually react to what he does.
If we're talking about illness and death, let's say we're talking about death.
So, even there.
Okay, if a plane crashes, are we saying that every single individual on that plane...
So that's a machlokas rishonim, how we view Ashgachat Pratit. So we say Ashgacha Pratit is the way many say that yes, nothing in this world happens to any person unless he specifically deserved it. Nothing, including spilling the glass of milk, including missing the bus, including stumbling on his way to work. Every little thing, there's a reason. A guy has a toothache, he better think what he did wrong to deserve that toothache.
That's what Rav Al should say.
Okay, I'm saying.
How do you reconcile that with free will?
What do you mean?
In other words, if humans make the decision another, how can Hashem, doesn't that affect
Not exactly. So that's already answered by the Geonim and the Rishonim by the story of Avshalom. God curses David that there will be evil arising from within his home. And then Avshalom is the one that rebels against King David. So the Rishonim ask, but God decreed it. What do you hold it against Avshalom for? So they answer that God decreed it should happen. He didn't decree who would be the one to do it. So if God decrees, let's say that plane will crash, God didn't decree who's going to be the one to crash it into the Twin Towers, or who's going to be there in those Twin Towers, or who's going to be in that plane. In the plane, maybe yes, but who's going to be, which terrorist is going to crash it, or will it be by coincidence or not? That's up to them. Are they going to be the ones who do evil? I mean, and God decrees something's going to happen. It wouldn't happen if God didn't want it to happen.
But you just said, who's going to be in the Twin Towers?
But I meant to correct myself on that. Who's going to actually get hit? That's decreed from above. That's that approach that says nothing happens to a person unless you have free will what you do, but my free will can't affect your free will. Meaning if I walk up and I want to punch you in the nose, I can want to punch, but whether you'll be the one punched in the nose or he'll be the one or someone else, that's not up to me.
What if Hashem decrees controlling free will? My example is Pharaoh.
That's the exception. There are times that Hashem gets involved in free will, and there the Rambam explains that's part of the punishment. It's a big machlokas Rishonim. When we get there, we'll discuss. The Rambam's approach is that there, that was part of the punishment. That was already game over at that point. Then he became a puppet.
Yeah, I understand that the rulers, kings and rulers, they have less free will than an average person.
That I don't know enough about. It does say there is such a pasuk in Mishlei, but I don't know enough about it. Sorry.
I just wanted to say that we're talking about plane crashes and tragedies and deaths and sickness. It's saying it all comes from Hashem. Nothing happens without Hashem having decided that it should happen. Also, good things. Every little tiny thing that's good that happens to you, if you believe that every bad thing, that's also everything.
Whether you perceive it as good or bad, it's not everything that happens.
Well, that's the thing. If Hashem is controlling everything, every little tiny thing, and He's ultimately good, then every little tiny thing must be ultimately good, even spilling the milk or a
figure. Well, it's leading there. It's up to us to make it be good. Meaning, banging your finger, the question is what happens? If you swear when you banged your finger, nothing good came of it. If something else happens, then something good could come of it.
I understand it's free will before the fact, and after the fact, it's a ship's will.
I don't know what you mean by that.
It means you banged your thumb and you swore that was your choice to swear, but after it already happened, this was Hashem's will that it should happen.
That you should swear? No.
It was ordained that it could happen.
Could happen. The idea of free will is that you have a choice what you'll do with it.
Before the fact. After the fact, what's happened? Nothing can happen without Hashem sanctioning it, per se. And having it be His will that it happens.
No, I think that's the idea of free will, that Hashem gives us a realm of action where Hashem does not define what we'll do.
Not before the fact. However, after the fact, in order for it to have happened, meaning if Hashem...
Can we say that Hashem knew that's not, you have free will, because there's no sense of time, it's just a continuum, that you have the free will to swear, but after the fact, Hashem already knew you were going to. It doesn't mean that He decreed you would, but He knew that this is what would happen. You know, different world changing, put yourself on a different level, different things will affect you. There's no time.
So that's the most prevalent approach to Hashgacha, what you guys are describing. Okay. That's what people have the easiest time living with, too.
We're talking about it. So, one time, me and my mom were in a car, and we were stopped with this red light, and it was just like red forever. We thought it was broken, right? And, you know, it turned green, the cars went through, turned red again, and we were three cars behind the light. So next time we're in, for sure. So the light turns green for literally like 3 seconds, and then it turns red again, and we were just marked next in line. We were like just about to pass the light. It turned red, and we were stopped right in front of the light. And, you know, and I was trying to think of it's like, why is this happening? It just turned red, like, you know, it's almost like it's magic, and we're going to be so late, blah, blah, blah. The three cars that went ahead of us, when the light turned green again, we saw their crash on the side of the road. Three cars that were allowed in ahead of us, and the light turned like, flying off really quick. Stop just in time to avoid
being in that car. Yeah. The issue is what happens when you don't see it. When you do see it, it's easy. When you miss the bus and your boss gets upset and you get fired and you don't know how you're going to put bread on the table, then you don't exactly see why you had to miss that bus. Okay, fine. I'm saying that is one approach that's become prevalent today. So that seems to be the direction he's developing, that if Hashem, if this is happening, it's part of the plan. As our sages taught, and we'll pick up here next time because we've gone way over time.